Luke chapter 2. I hope you won't get tired of Luke chapter 2 at the Christmas season. And rare is it to hear a message from these passages at any other time of the year. And so we don't get weary of hearing from these certain passages that are associated with the birth of our Savior. And tonight I want to talk to you a little bit on this subject, the trip to Bethlehem, government or God. The trip to Bethlehem, government or God. Let's pray together. We're in Luke 2. Father, thank you for the privilege to have a Bible. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts tonight and teach us. And Lord, as we are living in these days that are quite different, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be biblically oriented and keep our faces and noses in your word so we can know what's going on. That's a better place to put them than ABC or CBS or any of these news outlets. And so, Lord, help us to spend more time in truth than in false news. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name and amen. Before we get to reading, let me make a few comments tonight. It's easy to look around at all that's going on in our world today and get lost in trying to figure out what's happening. Where is it going? I've been asked that question. Where is all this going? Well, I'm like you. I don't know. I'm not sure where it's all going, whether good or bad. These are remarkable times that a child of God really should be digging into the Word of God. I am thankful I have a Bible. That's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that I have a Bible. And I'm thankful that God has helped me to get into it and learn a little bit from it. There's something that we must remember. And that is the president and princes, the governors and the prime ministers, they are not the main players in this world. There is a God in heaven who sits on the throne of His creation, and it is His sovereign plan that is being carried out on our planet. Now, I know many of us have been dismayed at what we perceive to be a failure on the part of our Supreme Court to agree to at least hear the allegations that have been made as to voter fraud. We've been disappointed in that. There are a great number of people who have signed affidavits giving sworn testimony facing perjury charges if they're lying, okay? And that testimony was that they witnessed firsthand voter fraud. Now, maybe you don't believe there was fraud, but there are millions of Americans who do. I do. And, you know, but everybody... And by the way, folks, if there was, that's significant in our country. And anyway, everybody has their own opinion, and that's fine. But I've been disappointed that the Supreme Court hasn't looked into it with more tenacity. Maybe there's some, some reasons for it. I'm sure there are. But this is where a child of God has to step back, in spite of all that's going on, and take a look at the Bible and see what truth we can learn from His Word that helps us understand the times. And since we are at Christmas time, we can look at the story of Christ's birth and learn something, now this is important, about His first coming that can help us as we anticipate His second coming. Because that's what we're looking for. So verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. So these verses let us in on some truth that should help us as we observe this world turning and churning and burning on its way to its demise. What great truth can be learned from Caesar Augustus and Cyrenius? Well, These were men of power. They were rulers in the Roman Empire, world empire, at the time of Christ's birth. The more I looked into it, the more details began to emerge as to these men, how they fit into what we call the Christmas story or Christ's first coming to the earth. But this is not a seminary class, and we can get bogged down in dates and places and people, and that is not my purpose for this lesson. So stay with me. I'm going to go somewhere toward the end. You'll get it for sure. And I have to get through some history before I can make the application that's on my heart tonight. So bear with me through the historical part. The man called Caesar Augustus, he's none other than the great nephew of Julius Caesar. His full name was Gaius Julius Caesar Octavius. That was his full name. And he was taught and trained by his great uncle. Julius Caesar did not have a son. So in his will, he named Octavius to be the emperor upon his death. And Julius died when Octavius was 18 years old. And at that young age, that teenage young man, the young adult man, he took the throne of the world empire. Now think about that. You've got an 18-year-old sitting on the throne as the ruler of the world empire at that time. Now there was opposition to his rule, but through some treaties and through some wars, he overcame his opponents. He seized supreme power in the empire. In fact, one of his conquests was over Mark Antony. You know that Cleopatra, Mark Antony, in about 31 B.C. Now, it was after that victory that Octavius was given the title Augustus. That was a title conferred upon him by the Roman Senate. That was something that they did. He asked for them to confer upon him a title. And so the name Augustus comes from August, which means great, majestic dignity and grandeur, spectacular. That's the title they gave him. And so this gave him almost a sense of deity within the Roman Empire. Now, this is where it can get bogged down. So let me try to keep it simple. At some point in the days when Augustus ruled, Caesar Augustus ruled, he made a decree that all the world should be taxed. This was not a one-time tax. In fact, you can read about another tax in the book of Acts. It was all a part of the same edict, the same decree made by Caesar Augustus. Some people said it was something that would occur every so often. Some believe it was like every 14 years. But this taxing was like a registration. It included a registration, almost like we would know as a census. Okay, a census. So some say they had to register their name, their age, their profession, their financial worth, number of children. All of that stuff was a part of this registration. And after they registered, the tax assessment would follow. And you know that the publicans were thieves. And they would charge way more than what the assessed tax should be. So they were hated, hated people. Now, look at verse number 3. So you got all this going on, okay? Look at verse 3. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. So this decree stipulated that this registration taxing had to take place in the head of the household's hometown. So from wherever you lived in the empire, you had to travel to your hometown to register and pay tax. So that's what's happening here. Look at verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So you got this young man and this woman espoused to each other. And by the way, I made a statement on Sunday that wasn't quite true. I said on Sunday that means they were engaged to each other. In Jewish culture, that was a closer binding contract than just engagement. It was almost, in fact, it was marriage without physical consummation. That's what espoused was. And so they're living in Nazareth. And by this time, in Luke chapter 2, Joseph has already made the decision to continue to take Mary as his wife at the message he got from God, given to him by the angel. Now, the shame of their situation was that people would think they consummated the relationship before the proper time. Usually there was a year between when they were married and when the relationship was consummated. It's a beautiful picture. During that year, the groom would go and prepare a house for his bride during that whole year. And then at the end of that year, he would go and get his bride and take her to the home that he had prepared, and the marriage would be consummated. I think we have a groom that's gone somewhere to prepare a place for us, and is coming back to get us. So it's a beautiful picture. So, now, submitted to the plan of God, with this shame of thinking, man, they have come together before the proper time. Okay? That was the shame of it. But submitted to the plan of God, they were together. Now, the problem for Joseph was that he was from Bethlehem. He was from the house and lineage of David. David's hometown was Bethlehem, so that's where Joseph had to go register slash be assessed for his taxes. And, you know, you can look it up, you can Google it, or look it up, and before Google existed, I did some research. One guy will tell you it's 70 miles, one guy will tell you it's 80 miles, another guy will tell you it's 90 miles. It's between 70 and 90 miles. How's that? Okay? From Nazareth to Bethlehem, as the crow flies, and people, we're not talking about a four-lane highway. We're not talking about a two-lane highway. We're talking in the days when transportation was crude, so forth, all right? And here his wife is busting at the seams, pregnant, and he's got to make this trip to Bethlehem. Now look at verse number 6, okay? And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. So the couple is in Bethlehem. Her pregnancy is completed. It's time for Jesus to be delivered. So it's a fairly normal baby story, right? Now, there was nothing normal about it. Traveling that many miles to register, only to have to deliver the baby while they're away from their home. Nothing was normal about it. But I want to tell you something. There was something prophetical about it. As we saw last week, a prophecy made hundreds of years before by the prophet Micah had to be fulfilled. Had to be fulfilled. If it was not fulfilled, then that would mean God's word was not true. And if God's word is not true about one prophecy, maybe it's not true about 10. And if it's not true about 10, it's either all or nothing when it comes to God's word. Either it's completely true or there's error in it. So, this had to be fulfilled. Here's the prophecy. You know it. Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Talked about that last week. Jesus didn't begin to exist in that manger at Bethlehem. He's from everlasting. So Micah, he prophesied the exact location. I'm hurrying through this. This is all the groundwork, okay? And don't worry, it's not going to be forever when I get to the application. So he's got the exact location of Jesus' birth. It was not Nazareth. It was not the Bethlehem that was closer to Nazareth. It was in Bethlehem, Judah, about 6 miles from Jerusalem, 70 to 90 miles from Nazareth. Now, can you hear this, folks? Listen. Caesar Augustus had no clue about the birth of Christ. None. Cyrenius had no clue about the birth of Christ. Herod had no clue about the birth. We know Herod had no clue about it. When the wise men showed up 2 years later as the newborn king, what are they doing? He had no clue about it. None of those political figures, none of them, had a clue about the birthplace of Jesus. But here's my question. Did Joseph? I never thought about that before till the last 2 or 3 days. Would he have known about Micah's prophecy? He could have known about, he could have, and possibly, and even probably, he knew the trip to Bethlehem to pay his, to register and get his taxes taken care of was coming. He knew that the baby Mary carried in her womb, when he was told that that baby was the Son of God, if he had any learning about Jewish Old Testament prophecy, his mind had to run to Micah 5:2. Now, wait a minute. She's carrying the Christ child. She's carrying the Messiah. He's got to be born in Bethlehem. Because Micah said that he had to be born there. I got to go to Bethlehem. I got to register and pay. I mean, when you think about it, folks, really, look, I'm stepping out on a little bit of speculation here. I don't know if Joseph knew about the prophecy. I have no scripture to back this up, but it's a little bit of common sense. What man would take his 8.5-month pregnant wife on a 70 to 90 mile trip on a donkey or whatever they did, a chair? Who would do that? I mean, there's a lot of dumb fellas in the world, but come on, give us a little credit. Huh? Why? Well, you know, why make two trips? I got this much time to get, it's kind of like April 15th. How many of us pay our taxes early? Huh? I know some people do, you know, but a lot of us wait till the last minute. I'm not going to send them any money before I have to. I don't know about you. No. So, you know, here they are going to wait to the last second to get, but you know, why make a trip to Bethlehem, come all the way back, and then take Mary and go, because that's where Jesus has to be born? Is it possible, even probable, that Joseph combined his trip to Bethlehem to coincide so that he could register, pay his taxes, and hopefully be there when the days were accomplished that she should be delivered? And I think there's a God in heaven that can take that kind of faith and make it happen. And that's exactly what happened to Mary. When she got there, she delivered all of this. Now, from a human standpoint, the government was corrupt. The government was power hungry. The government was money hungry. The rulers were pontificating. The people were put out of their normal routine. All of this just going on at the same time, by coincidence, as when Christ was born. People, I don't think anything was happening by coincidence when Christ was born. Everything was happening in complete harmony with God's plan for His Son's first coming to the earth. And if He had to put the whole world in motion to get Jesus to Bethlehem, He would, and He did. And the government was moving according to God's plan. The rulers were moving according to God's plan. The people were moving according to God's plan. Everything was according to His plan for Jesus' first coming. His first coming. So now we're at 2020. Right at the front door of 2021. What is going on? What in the world kind of day is this? Well, let's see what kind of day it is. Governments are corrupt. Governments are power hungry. Governments are money hungry. Have you seen the details of this spending bill that they passed out of Congress? They've lost their minds. A stimulus bill to help the American people and billions of dollars going to Pakistan for gender studies? You've got to be kidding. Well, I guess, I don't know, I haven't heard this. Somebody told me that the president said, I'm not signing it. You've got to be American. You're going to give Americans money. If you got the whole, give everybody. It's nuts. And it shouldn't surprise us. The deeper into sin this world plunges, folks, the less sense they have. Rulers are pontificating. Rulers are making rules that they don't plan to keep. Well, I caught a good one today. On my listening to news takes place between here and home and here. Okay, WLS. That's what I've been doing. Listen to that. There's this woman down in North Carolina, in some county in North Carolina. She's an official. She's like the county commissioner or something. I don't know if y'all heard this or not. But they had her press conference on. And she said, now because of the COVID-19 and the numbers are escalating and the transmission is escalating, we want everybody to stay home and only be with those for Christmas that are in your house. And a reporter goes, what are your plans for Christmas? I'm traveling to Durham to be with a couple of people. Oh, so this is going on in the press conference. So you're doing what you tell us not to do. Well, I'm using my personal judgment. Oh, so we don't have any personal judgment. They're ignorant, folks. They're not just in error. They're stupid. They couldn't graduate out of FBA. I'm not kidding. We got smarter kids than that graduating this year. People's lives are not normal. Would you like to know how many Brother Bragg talked about two families tonight that are stuck here in the States? The Jerkbergs are stuck here. The Nibbies are stuck here. That is repeated over and over and over and over. Again, Brother Reynolds, I'm sure y'all got them down there the same way. Nothing is normal. Don't talk to me about normal. You say, well, some of the restaurants are open normally. How do you order like that? So Ben had a problem with his. This is off the record. I mean, this is off the notes, but it's nice to get off the notes once in a while. So Ben has a problem with his MacBook computer in Madagascar, and he took it over to somebody over there, and they said, you know, you're going to send that to the States. And it was under warranty. Something about the screen was dark. So he sent it to me. Dad, can you find an Apple store? You try to find an Apple store right now. I went to Deer Park after, I didn't go there to hunt. Went to Deer Park after Providence one Thursday and dropped off this thing. And here they got security guards standing out there, and have y'all been to an Apple? It's unbelievable. And here's these big old plexiglass things. This guy's talking to me through this little and they didn't write it down right. He didn't write it down. I said the problem, it powers on, but the problem is the screen is black, and it says on your website that this model had a problem, and you fixed it. Blah blah blah. Okay, so they called me the next day. Well, you're right. You're right. I'm right. The unit doesn't power up. I said, excuse me. The unit powers up. That's what I told the guy. But it's the screen. Oh. And then she called back 2 hours later. Oh, you're right, sir. Yeah, I know I am. Thank you. I know I'm not always right, but I am this time. So then they got it. Then they shipped it to me free of charge. I didn't have to go pick it up. It did warranty work. So today I got a survey. You ever have fun with surveys? I had fun with that survey. Would you give us any more details about your experience? I said, yeah. The guy wrote it down wrong. I think the reason he wrote it down wrong, because we're trying to talk through a mask and a plexiglass a half inch thick over this flu. All it is a virus and a flu. And I just unloaded on that person. I don't know who read it. Whoa, this guy, mercy. But ain't nothing normal. There's nothing normal right now. In pretty much around here, especially in other places too. But it wasn't normal in Joseph and Mary's day either. Everything, just like Joseph and Mary's day, is happening according to God's plan. And that's what we have to remember. The government is moving according to His plan. I'm not talking about Mary and Joseph's government. I'm talking about ours. Our government is moving according to His plan. And the rulers are moving according to His plan. And the people, you and I, are living with the situation according to His plan. Everything is according to His plan for Jesus' second coming. Look, the world was affected by events that had to happen prior to Jesus' first coming to the earth. Right? Just read about one. Why would we think that there will not be events that will affect our world that have to happen prior to His coming the second time? If events were moved and orchestrated by God that shook the world when Jesus came the first time, it's a pretty good chance that there are events that are going to move and shake the world as Jesus gets ready to come the second time. And I believe we are living in the days that are being used by God to prepare for Jesus' second coming. This is not a direct. I would never give you any kind of advice on this, so don't ask me. Don't ask me about the vaccine. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. I'm not a practitioner. I'm not a registered. I'm nothing medically. I take a lot of vitamins. Thankfully, right now, I'm not on any prescriptions. That's it. I don't know about the vaccine. You make your own decision, okay? Somebody told me the other day, just in passing, that, you know, you're supposed to get a barcode with that. And then this goofball, Yang, he ran for president. He comes out and calls for a barcode to be tagged with every vaccine. You know what that sounds like to me? I know what it sounds like to you. Remember the Holocaust? Remember the tattoos the Jewish people had on their arms? Folks, you say, well, this is just, you know, how it is. Just how it is? Just how it is. No. It ain't just how it is. Our God in heaven is moving and shaking this world in preparation for His Son's second coming. And what do we know about Jesus' second coming? Well, One thing we do know is that it's 7 years after the rapture. We know that. So what does that mean? Personally, I believe we are living in pre-tribulation days in which the seeds of the tribulation are being sown right now into our livelihoods at an increasingly fast rate. The full effect of the tribulation won't come to fruition until after the rapture, but we may be seeing the first fruits of it now. Time out. I'm not advocating a mid-trib rapture. I still believe it's a pre-trib rapture. I think we're out of here. I'm just saying the seeds of the tribulation are already planted, and we are seeing things now that will take place when the tribulation starts, all because God is getting the world. It's more than just about America. God is getting the world in place and ready for Jesus' second coming, all according to His prophecy. Turn over to Revelation chapter 9. Let me show you something here real quick. Turn over to Revelation chapter 9. And I'm going to finish it up. We're in good shape. We ain't been here an hour yet, okay? And I'm sweating like a... I guess pigs don't sweat, but... It is really stuffy in here for me. Maybe it's not... But y'all, are y'all okay out there? All right, good, good. Hot? I'm sorry. We're trying to compensate with only one unit working, so... All right, look at Revelation. Now, look at verse 14. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. So this is the sixth trumpet judgment. Verse 14, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, and I'm not going to go into that, okay? But look at verse number 16, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. This is off the record too, okay? But it's fun to go off the record. 200,000. I'm no mathematician, but I'm just thinking. 200,000, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 zeros. 5 zeros, is that right? Brother Dave? All right, 200,000. It's 5 zeros. 200,000. That's 3 more zeros. No, yes? It's a bunch. Well, when you put that many zeros together, you look at 200 million. A fellow gave, I got the article at my house. Somebody sends them here. I don't know who it comes. It's called Imprimis. Imprimis. It's from Hillsdale College. And I read the guys talking about America's better wake up to China. Make you sick to read it. You better be glad. Pastor, you're bringing heavy stuff to us. You better be glad I don't bring everything. Unload the boat on you. Put you in the... China has a 2 million man army already. 2 million man army now. But that's only 1/10? No. Yeah? No? Help me. 200 million? 2 million? What is that, 1/10? 1/100th? It's small compared to 200 million. My point is, they're not 200 million yet. No, they won't be by themselves, but the kings of the East are coming. And who knows, and how many will come from India? And how many will come from other places to the east of Israel? How many nations to the east of Israel, anti-Israel? Let's see, 100%? So here we go, boys. Conscripted into an army. Like the Iraqi army was. A lot of those young, they were teenage boys, 16, 18, conscripted in, forced to fight. When the Americans showed up, they threw their weapons and surrendered. Who knows? Who knows? It's interesting. Now look at verse 21. So here's the sixth judgment, okay? Now look, they're talking about the men on earth, the tribulation period. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. Well, this is only talking about the tribulation. I know it's talking about the tribulation period. But let me ask you a question. Is there any such thing as murder going on right now? Chicago can't get a grip on it. Nor of their sorceries. You know the word sorceries, or you know the word sorceries. It's that word for pharmaceuticals. Drugs. Drugs everywhere. Drugs, 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 drugs. Legal, illegal. Next one, fornication. And then thefts. And I used to wonder, how does thefts fit in with murder and sorceries and fornications and thefts? Well, let's see, what do we have today? We got identity theft. We got internet theft. We got hacking. We have taxes. That's right. That's legalized theft. We got porch stealers. People can't get a package from Amazon because some goofball's waiting to steal it while they're at work. Are you saying we're in the tribulation? No. No. If we are, we are of all men. We're of all men. We don't have any hope. No. But I'm saying the seeds of what's going on in the tribulation are already planted. We're seeing, what is this, the first fruits of it? The tribulation's not here, but the seeds are sown. Jesus, God took the world before Jesus' first coming and shook it and moved it and used despots. And yes, it put His people it was uncomfortable. They had to get up and travel to their hometown. All of that in light of His Son's first coming. And people, I think we'd be very foolish to think that nothing is going to happen on earth. That everything is just going to be normal. And one day, Jesus is going to come. And then in 7 years, the place is going to go to pot. But the place is already going to pot. So what do we take home tonight? What do we take home tonight? Number one, don't panic as you take in the situation in which our world finds itself today. Don't panic as you take in the situation in which our world finds itself today. Don't panic. People, there is enough to make a person panic if all you do is interpret what is happening on a horizontal plane. We cannot do that. Thoughts control emotions, and emotions will influence choices. What are we to do? 2 Corinthians 10, we're to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. And we are to take captive those thoughts that are not in line with His Word. And can I say this? Thoughts that cause you panic, thoughts that cause you anxiety, are not according to what God wants for you. He wants His peace to rule in your heart. That's His Word. So if I've got a thought that's causing me anxiety and panic, that is a thought that needs to be taken into captivity and disposed of. How do I do that? You ask the Holy Spirit to take control of your thinking. Well, I tried that. Ask Him out loud, Spirit of God, help me. Who are you talking to? Talking to the Spirit of God. Help me. Ask Him to rid your mind of thoughts that steal your peace. You are a child of God. We're not supposed to interpret events on a horizontal plane. Can't do that. So, don't panic as you take in the situation which our world finds itself in today. Number two, do place all events within a biblical worldview. Place them all within a biblical worldview. Well, this stimulus bill is going to break us. Exactly. There has to be a one world currency. America still has the world's number one economy. Got to be destroyed. Look, you got to put things, folks, in a biblical worldview. This demands that we have somewhat of a grip on what the Bible teaches. Be diligent. Some of you are too careless with your Bible. You don't bring it to church. You don't bring it to Sunday school. You don't read it. What in the world? This is your truth. This is it. You know, be diligent to read it. Listen carefully to Bible teaching and preaching. in the second quarter next year, 2021, second quarter, that would be the 1st of April, right, Brother Allen? Our Sunday school lessons are going to be on the subject of future events as found in the Bible. 13 of them. It's going to be very helpful for you and I to hear what the Word of God teaches about what is ahead. Some of it's things you know already. Most of it. Listen, the government and its rulers were not in control as much as they thought they were. In Jesus' day, no, they were moving along within a framework of God's plan and God's will. It was not comfortable for God's chosen people, but it was according to His plan. The same is true today. The government and the kingdoms of this world and their rulers are not in control as much as they think they are. They are moving along within the framework of God's plan and God's will. And guess what? It may not all be comfortable for you and me, but it is His plan. I really think there are some Christians who are going down the tubes on January 20th if Biden is inaugurated. You know, man, they're still really holding it. Maybe Trump will stop. I don't know. No predictions. You know what most of us would rather see. I don't have any idea. But by the grace of God, I'm not going up in flames if Biden is inaugurated on January 20th. I don't have to. Place everything in a biblical... You say, well, that's not very comfortable for us. It wasn't very comfortable for Joseph and Mary either. But they had to go. Because Jesus was coming. Guess what? It may not be real comfortable for me and you because Jesus is coming. We got this little idea that, you know, things are going to be hunky-dory. We're going to have all the money we want and all this and there. The world's just going to be at complete peace. The world cannot be at complete peace when the Antichrist is introduced. And he's introduced when we're gone. Biblical worldview. Number three, develop an eye for the signs of the times. Now stay with me. It's 8:01. We're okay. We're too used to getting out. In fact, Brother Marty's been asking for more time for King's Kids. These kids are sitting here pretty quiet tonight. Doing pretty good. 1 Chronicles 12:32 talks about the children of Issachar. I'm almost done. You know what it says about these men? They were men of understanding. Men that had understanding of the times. Did you know that we cannot know the day or the hour in which Jesus is going to come in the rapture? Can we? But do you know that we can see the day approaching? No, we can't. Well, Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So God put something in His Bible that we can't do. Matthew 16:3, Jesus speaking, O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky. Red skies in morning, sailors take. Red skies at night, sailors delight. You can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? Luke 21:25, listen to this. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. According to NASA, a NASA news article dated April 25th, 2019, a year and a half ago, NASA recorded pictures of sunspot anomalies so large they could swallow the earth. Will there be signs in the sun? And there shall be signs in the sun. I never said much about this, but it's true. I think some people went overboard on it, and that's why I avoided it. But there have been several blood moons in the last decade. Four of these occurred in 2020. Scripture talks about the moon appearing as being turned into blood in several places. And there shall be signs in the sun. And in the moon. The this past Monday night, Jupiter and Saturn lined up for extra brightness. You probably have heard about it. It's called the Christmas light. It's the first time it's happened in 800 years. Now, they're in close proximity about every 20 years, but this is the closest they have been since March the 4th, 1226. And there should be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Every single country on this planet has been distressed by COVID. Everyone with perplexity. They still don't know what to do about it. Where was that? The UK? They're now saying that there's a strain of the virus that is completely new and highly transmissible. So here we go again. Record numbers of hurricanes were recorded in 2020. Let's see. And there should be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. I suppose the one who made the sun, moon, stars is probably capable of doing whatever is necessary to them in order for his people to discern the time. Are you setting a date? Heavens no. Heavens no. And back in 1987, I got this white book with red letters on the cover. 88 reasons why Jesus will come in 1988. That was a waste of time, money, whoever printed that. No, I'm not setting a date, but I hear it here. I'm done. Because I still can't believe the lack of spiritual perspective from some of God's people right now. We got Christians living as if everything is normal. It's not. Joseph did not know the exact date of Jesus' birth, but as a Jew, he probably knew messianic prophecy, and he understood how the trip to register was orchestrated by God, and I got to go there anyway because the baby's got to be born in Bethlehem. I'm not going to make two trips. And it's not going to be very comfortable. He didn't know the exact date, but he knew that God was moving things. And at this Christmas season, we can't know the exact date of Jesus' second coming. But folks, I think we can understand that what is going on in our world is God's plan. I don't know what else to tell some of you to wake up out of sleep spiritually. No spiritual interest in a lot of cases, in some cases. Man, God's plan. And because we are God's children, you know what? We should lift up our heads. Redemption draweth nigh. How nigh? I don't know. When's that baby going to be born, Joseph? I don't know. But I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be. At the right time. When is Jesus coming in the second? When is he coming in the second coming? I don't know, but I know this. 7 years before that, he's going to come in the rapture. So, I'm just saying. The trip to Bethlehem, government or God? COVID, economic disaster, government or God? I'm going to go with the higher power. Keeping everything in a biblical worldview. Trying to. Let's stand. That's it. Father in heaven, bless the lesson to our hearts tonight. Thank you for your word. I pray that you'd help us to be people aware, help us to wake out of sleep, as Paul said. And Lord, get our eyes open, get our ears open, get our hearts tender, get tuned in. It's time. I'm not trying to scare people. I'm not trying to throw fear into people's hearts. I'm just trying to give them. It's not much different than it was when Joseph and Mary traveled to Bethlehem to give birth to Christ. It's a little uncomfortable right now. What are you doing? We don't know, but we know that you're in control. And help us to look to you. Bless our people. God, please. In light of all this, give us a wonderful season as we reflect on the birth of Christ those many years ago. And we reflect on His, what we believe, soon, second coming to this earth. Cleanse our hearts. God, help us to be tuned in. Tuned in. With a heart ready for your appearing. Please, my prayer. And I want to ask you to bless our country. Help our president. But God, most of all, help us. Help us. Be thou our helper, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.